God, in the face of fear and challenge, you have remained steadfast. You have even put your loved ones in harm's way for the sake of us all. It took a little, ruddy-faced shepherd boy to awaken a nation transfixed by fear. Today, Lord, we ask that his descendant, Jesus, forgive us. Transform our fear into courage, our apathy into love, and our so-called realism into hope. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession, Grace Alone, number 2162 in the small hymnal. Brothers and sisters, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. chancel choir. This is the time in our worship that we share together the joys and concerns of our lives, and we have a couple more to bring to your attention this morning. We thank you for your prayers for Shirley Jones in her knee replacement this week. She is actually home, recuperating with home care, and your continuing prayers for that recovery are much appreciated in this day. And also, Tom Evans is in New Jersey this weekend, actually for a wedding, but while there, received the word that his grandfather, Bill, died of complications from pneumonia on midnight on Friday night. So please keep Tom and his family, and particularly his grandmother, in prayer as she struggles with the news in the midst of dementia.
I'd like to ask prayers for Suzanne Casey. She is my older brother's girlfriend's daughter, and she is she's pregnant and at 27 weeks is in labor. They put her on some drugs yesterday to help to kind of slow the labor down because the baby's not quite ready yet. But she has struggled with substance abuse over the past couple of years, and so the baby is at risk. So she needs lots of prayers. Suzanne Casey, thank you.
Nancy and I are pleased to have our son David with us today from near Houston, Texas.
I ask prayers for my former co-worker, Charlotte, who has been just diagnosed with breast cancer.
I have a joy to share about my sister, Sherry. She's continuing to undergo therapy to try and regain some use in her arms and her hands. And it's limited use, but it's some use that she has back, so that's a very good thing. Praise God.
Any other prayer requests?
I would just like to ask for rain for the farmers that I saw on the news. So.
Daddy's back from his trip.
My daughter Carmen will be celebrating her 29th birthday on Saturday, and some of you who were here when she was born know that she that this is really amazing. She's going to be 29 years old. It's fabulous.
I'd like to ask prayer requests for the Ryan family. We've been praying for, this is a colleague of mine at work whose dad, I forget exactly what his medical complications were, but he was in the hospital for a long time. He was out, but apparently, I think this summer he's back in and they have to redo the surgery. So just prayers for the Ryan family. Also last Sunday, another colleague of mine, her husband passed away very suddenly with a heart attack at 55. Very healthy guy, very healthy family. So just, it was a huge shock to them and to our community at school. So just prayers for the Hoffman family, the Hoffman family. Any other prayer requests?
Oh. We could keep praying for our friends Jeanette and Ernest from Burundi, and especially that their son Sylvester might get a spot at Times 2 Academy with his brother Pacifique. And we could also pray for five other families from Burundi who are friends of theirs who we helped apply to Times 2, especially for Meshack, who I think is number one on the waiting list for seventh grade, and for Krishan, who is number 20 on the waiting list for sixth grade, I believe. maybe that's seventh grade. But they both, I think, go to Gilbert Stuart Middle School and Roger Williams Middle School, which are really struggling schools in Providence, and we could pray for those schools as well, for all the middle schools. Thanks.
Let us pray. In the beauty of this day, we pause to give thanks for your creative love for your world, for your people near and far. Guide us to you that we might know your presence and spirit leading to new life. We pray for our world, so in need of your saving grace, your love, your hope, and power to make things new, whether governments, disaster, or whatever may challenge the spirits of your people and the realities of their lives. We pray, O Lord, for rains to fall to sustain this world and the delicate balance that you have created. We pray for our schools working in new directions and with new evaluations, for teachers who work so hard to make a difference in the lives of children, and for students who face challenges that few of us can really know in reaching for that learning. We lift to you particularly the Burundian community and their efforts to find new schools for the Tondereya family and our continuing relationship there with Sylvester, with Meshach, with Krishan. We pray, O Lord, this day for those who grieve in these days, for Tom Ward and their family in Judy's death. We give thanks for her life and her too brief time with us in this congregation, and pray for strength as they prepare for Saturday's service. We pray for Tom Evans and his family and the loss of his grandfather Bill, for the Hoffman family. We pray for those in need of your healing spirit this day, your hope and presence, for Ashley, for Shirley, for Lee and for Monica, for Suzanne, for the Ryan family, for those named and unnamed in our midst, for Rebecca, she prepares for another bone marrow transplant. We pray for those who struggle with addictions and are reaching for recovery. Help them to really take it one day or hour or minute at a time, to reach for the hope that may be found in you. We pray for those who are in transition with new opportunities ahead, or those who have been long searching for new positions and are facing challenges. We lift to you Andrew in his continuing travels as he moves from Bangladesh to India. We give thanks, O God, for your abiding presence and the celebration of joys in our midst that remind us that you are ever present and answering prayers. We give thanks for those who visit with us in this time, for Paolo's family and friends, for David from Syracuse, for some new hope in the use of her hands for Sherry, for Matt's safe return from Turkey and his travels there. We give thanks, O God, for the miracle of life that you have given Carmen for these almost 29 years now, and pray for new hope and possibilities ahead for her as well. Lead us forth as your disciples, O God, grounded in your word and spirit, set free to love and to live as you intend for all your people, through the power of Jesus Christ, who teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I would like to invite the children forward for a children's message this morning. Come on up. All right. can sit on the floor, you can sit up or down or wherever. Got lots of them coming, good. Let's see, oops, it's gonna fall off on me here, but we'll try this. Good morning, how are you guys this morning? Great, you having a good summer? Good, good. Well, I want to tell you a little short piece of the story of the guy in the Bible that Reverend Paolo is going to talk about in his sermon with the rest of us after. You have gum in your mouth. Keep it in your mouth, okay? And only in your mouth. Reverend Paolo is going to talk about a guy in the Bible named Peter. Any of you ever heard of Peter? No? You think so. Good, good. Anyone around here heard of Peter? Well, Peter was one of the disciples, and his name was Simon when he first became acquainted with Jesus, but Jesus then renamed him as Peter. And there's a favorite line in the Bible that Jesus says about Peter later on. He says about Peter, he says, "Upon this rock," because Peter, which in Greek is Cephas, means rock. "Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church." And throughout this summer, we've been talking about different characters of the Bible up here in the worship service, different ones that each of our preachers really like in the Bible. And today we're going to be talking about Peter, about upon this rock that Jesus is going to build his church. And it reminded me in thinking that those disciples that traveled with Jesus in those early days, and particularly Peter that we're talking about today, were also important to building the church. And all of you, Emily, Eliza, you too, Jermaine, you too, all of you who are here, Eden and all of you, you're all important to building the church, here as you come together here for Sunday school and bring your energy to the Tuesday night barbecues, and as you greet people and smile and share your faith and learn about your faith and ask adults hard questions about faith. All of that is important to building the church, but Peter was one that Jesus lifted up, and Peter wasn't perfect. Peter wasn't perfect by any means, and none of us are perfect, but that's why we're in church, to be able to learn and grow together and learn what it means to follow Jesus and to build Jesus' church. So let's join together in a prayer, and those of you who are 3 years old up to third grade are welcome to go downstairs for a time of childcare, and the rest of you can go back and sit with your parents. You're three. You got it. There you go. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks that you know each one of us by name, that you help us to be your church together. Send us forth now as your people that we may share that love and that joy of what it means to be your people. And help us always to remember that you call to each one of us. In Christ we pray. Amen. Okay. You may go back.
I'm five.
You're five. Well, you're still in that.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Psalm 42, which can be found in your pew Bible on page 487 and the large print Bible on page 633. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with a throng and led them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Our New Testament lesson comes from Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20, found in your pew Bible on page 17 and the large print Bible on page 22. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, why do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It is my honor to be here, and I notice that you have hope in Providence. When I shaped this message, when I was inspired to shape this message, I didn't even know that the church location was on Hope Street. And then I think the Holy Spirit is inspiring us in His presence this morning. So I invite all of you to read along with me, if you want to, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. The Word of God says, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice. So now, for a little while, you have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of great worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an expressive and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of God for us today. Amen. The title of the message is The Power of Hope. The Power of Hope. As we have sang this song, this African song, which talks about people crying, people singing to the Lord, and people praying, we may notice that many people nowadays, they are crying for something that they even do not know who they are looking for. And I love that song because it expresses something that is real in our human nature. And then, as I'm going to talk about the power of love, I want to start up telling you, as far as I read about the history of this church, I want to start up telling you that this church is a clear example of God's supernatural power at work. And such a thing, such a witness means hope. So today let me talk about hope, but not the hope that we may see things happening or not, but a living hope that you and I, we have for our future, both as church, as well as individuals. What I notice here, number one, you are called to build up a multicultural church. And you accepted that challenge long ago, as I noticed. That is a great witness to the community around. And not only to the community around, but to the communities that you have been supporting all over. Number two, what I noticed here is that today, as I'm going to talk about hope, your victory is found because it is born of God's Spirit, what shows that the Lord is at work for sure. And praise be the name of the Lord for that. This kind of ministry is a challenge within a culture that cultivates individuality rather than living as community. That is really a big challenge within this culture. Now, today I want to encourage you in this time of transition and continuity, and I'm going to talk about Peter, because Peter is one of the greatest witnesses of God's power. And back then, when Peter was in charge of bringing that message of hope, he was facing persecution. All the followers of Jesus, they were facing persecution, and they were working in the midst of a world in transition when Christ was building up his church. And we all know that human beings cannot live without hope. Let me tell you about a real testimony, something that happened in California when I was serving as chaplain at Pomona Valley Hospital. There was a lady about 70-something years old, and she was coming to the end of her life. She was a terminal patient. She had cancer. And then when they called me to provide pastoral help and pastoral care, when I first came to her, the first words that she spelled were these. She said, Pastor, I don't have hope anymore. And she was crying. I don't have hope anymore. And then we spent time talking. And she talked about her life. She talked about the hard time that she faced life with all kinds of struggles within her family and all those kinds of things. And then when we came to the point that she was ready to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, she said, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And then I encouraged her to pray along with me that prayer. And she prayed, and she was crying, and she was crying, and she started coming down and stopped crying. And I felt in her face that something was different, because now she had hope. She understood that the perspective of her life was not coming to the end because of that kind of illness. But she had hope for eternal life. And incredible how that happened. I stayed there in the hospital talking to somebody else. And about an hour later, she passed away. All she was waiting for was that kind of hope. To understand that life would not be ending at that very time, because she would be passing away. And in this passage, Peter praises God, whom in his great mercy has given us new birth. New birth, which is something really good, talking about our spiritual life. New birth is all we need to be spiritually alive. And a new birth into a living hope in Jesus Christ. And Peter was one who lived powerful experiences following Jesus Christ. That meant hope for him. He was the first one to receive revelation from the Father, who let him know who Jesus was. He didn't know who Jesus was, as we just heard that lesson from the New Testament when Jesus asked him, "Who people think I am?" People was telling different things, how they saw and how they understood Jesus. But when came to that question addressed to Peter, "And Peter, who do you know I am?" And Jesus said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So what happened? What happened? That meant hope for him. He was the first one among the disciples to receive that kind of revelation. And before the time when we receive some kind of revelation from the Lord, we can't really understand who God is and who Jesus is. What else? Peter was a fisherman. And his name was Simon, as Pastor Chris just mentioned, but the Lord gave him a new name, Peter, which means rock. And he was a man of strong temper. But along the journey, as we see Peter from the beginning, in comparison to Peter who wrote those letters, we may notice how Jesus transformed Peter's life. And then, on the other hand, what happened? Jesus was a weak man without Jesus Christ. And you know his stories. He promised Jesus that he would be with him until death, and he failed. And he denied that he even knew Jesus Christ when he was asked about that. And he was afraid. How many of us are afraid of that when we are confronted with some kind of realities that we see in this world? Nevertheless, Jesus gave him a living hope, as he does with us today, in the face of disagreements, in the face of hopelessness. What was the turning point of his life? What was the turning point of Peter's life? I think that when Jesus called Peter to follow him, the turning point was just that very moment when Peter left everything behind to follow Jesus Christ. And his attitude shows that he was willing to fulfill God's promises rather than his own purposes in life. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, that is something very important for us. What really matters the most in our lives is when we decide to follow Jesus and to accomplish God's purposes in our life rather than following only our purposes. And this church is committed to fulfill what God wants you to do, to accomplish, to fulfill the Great Commission. And this church clearly has been empowered by the Holy Spirit to preach Christ resurrected to the people from different group, ethnic groups. That is amazing. And I'll tell you, only one church I know in our denomination who has been called and accomplished that kind of call is the Church of All Nations in Minneapolis. They have people from over 25 countries, over 25 different countries. And that is the goal. I am amazed to see this is a church which has been doing that. And then when Peter talks about hope, what kind of hope is that? When the Bible speaks of hope, it is talking about the opposite of uncertainty. It is not like hoping for something that may or may not happen. When we leave home every day and we go somewhere to work or wherever we go, we have hope that everything is going to work out very well for us, but that may happen or not. I'm not talking, and Jesus was not talking, and Peter either was not talking about that kind of hope. That kind of hope that we are talking about is something that we receive. And we will receive the great things that God had promised to us. Everything that is written in the Bible about promises. If we truly believe, we are going to understand. Later on, we are going to understand that those promises are going to take place in our lives. But we have to go to the right pattern, not to try to understand everything before we believe. How many fathers of the early church spent all their lives trying to understand what Jesus had said? But the key is not to try to understand in order to experience. The key is to believe, and then we are going to experience what is written as God's promises. And this is a blessing when we see a church like this, a faithful team of people, a faithful congregation who were created to fulfill God's promises within this community rather than just trying to accomplish their own purposes. And that alone is a proof that God is at work in this congregation over here. How many people out there, they miss the point, trying just to spend their days, their lives, day after day, just living without a purpose. How many people I have found? How are you doing? I'm okay. What have you been doing? Oh, I have been working so hard. I'm busy. Okay. Nothing wrong to be busy working and some other affairs, but we have to understand that we were created for a purpose that God separated us to spend time with Him and to worship Him. So, my testimony, what happened to me, to talk about my own life when I first came to the Lord in 1967, what happened? I did not understand yet what was God's purposes in my life. So what I used to do, I used to call on the name of Jesus Christ just to ask for help about my material needs. But then later on, when somebody confronted me, I have a friend in New York. Back then, many years ago, she came to me and we were talking. I was talking with her about my life, and she said, "Paulo, why don't you forgive yourself? Jesus has already done that. Why you keep carrying upon your shoulders all that burden?" And then I repent and I said, "Lord, please forgive my pride. Why I do not repent and quit that burden upon my shoulders? Why don't I forgive myself?" How many people, they say, "I do not forgive myself. I know that Jesus forgave me, but I still carry upon my shoulders that kind of thing." This is the hope that we have. We have not to carry upon our shoulders that kind of heavy burden about our past. We can't change the past. We are able, with God's help and by God's grace, to change our future, which is something that brings hope. And from that time on, that was the turning point of my life. From that point on, I experienced Jesus' promise about salvation. And where that hope comes from? From Christ's work. We did not do, and we are not going to do anything good in order to be forgiven. We can't get there on our own, but we need and we have to understand that we totally depend on God's grace and in Jesus Christ. Peter was the first of the disciples to run to the tomb and found it empty. Jesus wasn't there. Then now his hope, from that time when he went to the tomb and he did not find Jesus, his hope was alive because it was grounded on Christ's resurrection. We preach the Christ, the one who rose again. That is our hope for today. Jesus is alive, interceding for us. We just prayed, and we keep praying. I learned that this church is committed to prayer. That is one of the greatest things that we may have, is to reinforce and keep praying, because that is why you are doing well. How those gifts about some other things like inheritance that Peter talks about, how those gifts apply to our lives today. Like Israel in the wilderness, the New Testament people of God made their way through a world that was becoming most hostile. Likewise, we live in a world which becomes more hostile to Christians day after day. How many places we have to go and we are not prevented to talk about Jesus Christ. That is too bad. But we have freedom here. We have freedom here that we don't have in some other parts of the globe. How many? I heard yesterday, I learned that in India and some other countries, they were burning down many churches and they were killing many missionaries. We still have freedom. You have a temple over here. In Africa, they don't have, many of them, they don't have a place to worship. That is blessing. And that kind of hope will never perish. And that kind of hope will never spoil or fade. And Peter says, what he says about faith, it is of greater worth than gold. It is precious. Our faith is precious because it can be proved authentic in times of trials. If we would not have trials, we would not have an opportunity to test our faith. All of those things together produces in us, according to Peter, as we feel this morning, as we rejoice when we were singing, all those things together produces an expressive joy. How many people don't have that joy nowadays? Therefore, what is the good news that we may find? By the power of Jesus' love, you still stand and will stand strong even in the midst of this world of changes, because your living hope is grounded on Jesus, in Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. So, you have nothing to fear. Just keep praying and go ahead doing what you are doing without, and praying without ceasing, like you have been doing. Like in Peter's case, when he delivered his sermon on the day of Pentecost, Peter was bold, and many people, they repented because Peter was not saving some words. He was telling them the truth, and all the people from all the known world were there in Jerusalem, people from all over the places. And he boldly preached that sermon, and many people came to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit was there. The same Holy Spirit is here this morning, and we praise the Lord for that. And he is the one who empowers us and empowers you to preach about salvation to all the citizens of different nationalities over here and wherever you go. And always remember, as we sang that song, someone is crying out there. Go and tell them where they can find hope. And praise be the name of the Lord once more for all that he has done in the midst of this congregation. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. And we are going to sing a song which is, in my opinion, a great confession of faith. Because when Jesus was hanging on that cross, he died without anybody around him. Lonely as he was, but even though he suffered, he thought of you and of us. Praise be the Lord, the name of the Lord. let's sing together. Above all nations and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men, you were there before the world began. Of kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders,
please be seated. We continue to wrestle with what it means to follow Christ's will, and Judy Babcock is here to report on the work of the General Assembly of our Presbyterian Church.
Some of you are probably not too much aware of General Assembly. It's our national meeting that occurs every 2 years. There are 173 presbyteries in the U.S., and each presbytery sends two clergy delegates and two ruling elder delegates who vote on the overtures that are brought forth to them. Congregations or presbyteries send overtures to the General Assembly. These are then assigned to committees, and the committee's recommendations come before the whole plenary session. In addition to the four people that they send one youth advisory delegate. A few years ago, Kwame was our delegate from here. I went to one of the committee meetings, the one that was dealing with synods, because of my role in synod, and I was so impressed with the young adult advisory delegates. That gives me real hope for the future of the church. They were articulate, they were willing to take on leadership roles, they made motions. In the committees, they can vote. They can make motions, they're full participants in the committees. Once it gets to plenary, they're just advisory. They can get up and speak, but their vote is only advisory. But I'll tell you, those young people, young adults, are really wonderful. And I was so pleased with them. I can't tell